So welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club. Today we're here joined by Gypsy.
Hello.
Angus.
Hello.
Lisa.
Hey.
Alex.
Hey.
And Jeanette.
Hi.
And today we're looking at a TV series from 1997 to 2001. It's called Brass Eye.
Yeah, so what happened is the series is from 97 and there was a special in 2001, and it's a satire on current affairs shows from the mid-90s, and part of it is making fun of the massive bombastic way it shows its content, like ridiculous over-the-top CGI, graphs that don't make any sense, and other style-over-substance stuff. But it's also the fact that the host is Hurley the Now and is very much telling shifts of power sort of thing, even though they're just doing a general crap that other shows have done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a bit of a satire on social norms at the time. In particular, each episode, there's a cause that they make up in order to get celebrities on screen to spook for the cause. So, like, say, one episode, they make up a story where zoo conditions are so terrible that one elephant stuck its own trunk in its anus. And they're trying Yeah.
There's our explicit label right off the bat.
So this is child-friendly, then?
Yeah, it's very, very child-friendly. The point is that they're given stuff to say, which obviously doesn't make any sense. And obviously, any sort of cursory glance would show that they just make up stuff, and just the only reason why they're celebrities would be saying it on air is because either they're gullible, or they care about looking good on TV, or both, and they actually care about the cause.
Right, so the episode you're looking at today is called Drugs, is that
yeah,
right?
It's about drugs.
So that's child-friendly too.
Very child-friendly, yeah. I mean, this is our point of the show, to be child-friendly.
Why did you select that?
Part of it is because some of it's very satirical, some of it's very funny. I think this episode's got a good mix of both, but also because I think this is probably going to be one that translates well, because this was from Britain in 97, and in particular there are a few episodes which are referencing things that I don't get. Like, say, one episode, the episode is about the moral decline of Britain, and it involved two stories, one of which was a pop singer singing a song about how they fell in love with Myra Hindley.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
She's a mass murderer.
Yeah. And Moore's murderer.
Yeah, and the other one was Sutcliffe, the musical, with Peter Sutcliffe as himself.
Which was Boston Strangler? No. Yorkshire.
Yeah.
Yorkshire Ripper.
Yeah.
That was so bad.
I think I know way too much about this stuff. I better be quiet.
Yeah. that's the thing. Like, I didn't get those references the first time I saw the show, so as a result, like, I didn't get those jokes. And so there's a few things, and especially, like, the most controversial episode, to the point where it's, like, as in the most complained about episode in British TV history up to that point. It was a 2001 special, and it was called Pedo-geddon, and it mocked. Yeah.
Right.
There's a reason why I didn't pick this episode.
Yeah.
Part of it was just the fact that, without the context of the massive anti-pedophilia styles in Britain at the time, it doesn't really work.
Yes. I think when you pitched this to us, I felt like this would be an English version of Frontline.
No, it's far harsher than that. It's a part of the reason why I didn't go for the Peter Gaining episode. Partly because it does deal with, oh hey, it's pedophiles. And it actually is that controversial, but also the fact that I don't think it necessarily works in the Australian context. Like, it doesn't age well, it doesn't transfer well.
Yep.
So that's the reason why I picked Drugs, because I think it's going to make the most sense, it's going to age the best, and it's going to be less obnoxious than the moralising in Pedo-geddon.
No, honestly, I think most of us agree that the ones that don't translate well tend to make the best episodes. So,
yeah.
You know, that's a thing.
Sometimes.
The best episodes
yeah.
for this podcast.
Yeah. Because, like, I want an actually good episode with actual jokes in it, please. It's like, I want you to enjoy yourself rather than mock it, please.
So the whole thing is about sensationalism.
Yeah, a bit like that, and a bit, yeah.
Moral panics and all those kinds of
things. Yeah, that kind of stuff, yeah.
Has anybody else seen this, by the way?
Have you
ever heard of
it's
Brass Eye?
It's a type of metal.
Brass Eye. No, never heard of it.
Yeah, it's part of the reason why I picked it. Because
nobody,
I still keep
nobody
thinking
else at the table knows about this.
I still kept thinking it was Drop the Dead Donkey until I walked in here tonight.
Yeah.
So
yeah. That's why I was like, hey, this is a series nobody else has seen. So I've seen this a lot, and I wanted to see what you guys think about it.
Okay, so we're going in blind?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's see what happens.
Or are
so
we going
brass
in with
eye,
brass eyes?
With brass eyes. So what did people think of that? Gypsy, what did you think? You were horrified at some scenes.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, it was good.
Angus, how did you find that?
That was actually really, really fun.
Yeah. Just,
that was hilarious.
Well done, Alex. Well done. Yeah. That was a good recommendation.
Yeah, I was a bit worried that was going to be a bit too hard.
Lisa, what did you think?
Yeah, that was nothing like Frontline. That was, edgy. I love it. That was full on.
It was very much like the sort of classic BBC overhyping everything, wasn't it?
Yes.
Element to it.
But to the point of ridiculousness, and it was, it was just brilliant. Yeah.
So I'll skip Alex for a second.
Yeah.
It was good. It was really good fun. I love the silly graphs because you said they have all these silly statistics that remind me so much of the Year 12 research project. Absolutely silly, you know, mind maps and
That was good fun. That was really good fun.
So, Angus, what did we actually just see? What was it?
It was literally a program about the use of drugs in, like, semi-modern culture. It's a bit outdated in terms of just, I've never heard music like that. But,
I'm not sure anyone ever went to a
nightclub. No, that's true. But no, it was really, really funny because it was that, it did have that heavy satire, but it just took the piss out of everyone involved. And
I think BBC TV is still like that. I don't think it's changed a bit. Still very shouty, sort of rushed through scene by scene and giving much time,
Current affairs programs.
Yeah.
Oh, I think they are like that in Australia too.
Yeah, a bit less like that.
I don't watch current affairs. Yeah. Been a long time.
I'll never forget being in London where I was watching the news one day and I realised that what I was watching was not news at all. It was simply something like, oh, a man died today in Sussex by being hit by a car. Boom, boom. And then it would be on to the next thingy.
Whoa.
Almost that level of information. It was. It came across to me as a parody at the time, but this was parodying that. I thought it was quite good. So, Alex, you selected the episode.
It's more that, again, I was saying before, about the mix between the satire and the humour. Like, there's a few different episodes. For example, there's one episode where they have a bit that's satirising the way AIDS was seen at the time. And there was a clash between good AIDS, which was AIDS you got not intentionally through blood transfusions, versus bad AIDS, which you got through your own actions. And that's probably my favourite bit, just because it's so harsh and it's satire. Because after the host found out that the guests they had bad AIDS, not good AIDS, suddenly the demeanour switched on a dime.
The 2020 Lisa is just really having a problem with that whole paragraph that I can't even get it's fighting satire and I get that it's making fun of those sensibilities from the 90s, but I can't even, I feel really, you know, you can't talk like that, you can't say that, but that's the whole point.
Yeah, that's the whole point of the show. That's the thing, like, instead it's been that harsh throughout the episodes, but at the same time there's a lot of really ridiculous stuff in there as well. Like, for example, one bit that's been memed a lot is, no wonder people are funded by technology, and the bit is just Chris Morris holding a sign saying that technology and going technology to random passers-by. And that's the thing, that's why I chose this. It's like a mix of the actual funny versus the hard satire, because like some of the satire is so harsh I didn't want to endure that upon you without seeing the funny bits first.
I think I've seen that video where is this going technology and is that from this?
It's from this, yeah.
Oh wow.
I've just been watching a series of Billy on the Street and I think that's pretty much what he does, but it's not satire, it's just him running around going.
But I guess part of the whole thing was portraying a fake moral panic in some ways. And then thrusting it in people's faces, including some people who weren't even aware that they were being duped on live. There was a conservative MP there.
Watch that again now that I realise that.
But real MP, and he genuinely went to Parliament and went, this is an issue.
He went to Parliament.
Yeah, that's why it was illegal.
The drug cake.
Because he assumed it was
a real drug.
It was a real drug.
Yeah. In his district, because they were saying, like, his area that he represents was becoming a nickname for this drug.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, exposing how those moral panics are created in the first place is really useful. Man. Yeah.
And some of the stuff in it is like the beginning of the episode where he's like going, you know, smoking the crack and using the horse. And it's just so, it's like, yeah, this is obviously someone who knows absolutely nothing about it. And then at the end, he's like going, oh, yes, I've been injecting for 6 years, but it's okay because it's recreational. And it's like, oh, my God. It's just horrific.
I love the street scene at the beginning where, I mean, that guy probably wasn't actually a drug dealer. I don't know what you're talking about.
Leave me alone.
You're crazy. Leave me alone. Just pick on some random.
I was like, I want the cranky cat. Give me the cranky cat. Oh no, the clucky cat. I want the clucky cat. What are you talking about? Leave me alone.
The drug dealer at the beginning did say, "I've only got coke." If you. He was either an actor or an actual drug dealer. I think he might
have been an actual drug dealer.
He would not surprise me.
Might have been. I think he might have been. Yeah. So what didn't age well, Gypsy? Is it the stuff in there that didn't age well?
Come on, two words.
Yes.
I don't know. I'll give you a hint.
Yeah.
The baboon? Rolf Harris!
Rolf Harris.
Yeah.
Rolf Harris. Sort of,
yeah.
There's some bad references.
At least it wasn't in a pedophile episode.
Yes. Well, then we've lost us all.
Yeah. I was waiting for Jimmy Savile to come out. And man.
Yeah.
Another reference that I'm pretty sure, I don't think anyone else got at the end, is the guy he was doing the interview with is the lead singer of a group called Babylon Zoo, which had a really big one-hit wonder from about that era called Spaceman. Yeah. And I loved that song when I was like 16, 17 or something. And I'm like, no one else knows what this band is except for me.
So that was the imaginary song they were discussing at the end.
No. When he was having that interview with the guy and they were just having, it was like, this is a conversation without drugs, and it was just the most boring conversation at the end, and they were talking about how are you a genius? Stuff, yeah.
Are you a genius? Have you ever written any spherical music?
Yeah. There's a lot of weird interviews like that. There was only like two in this episode, but like a couple of them are basically just he interviews like five random people just to see what they say in about random topics.
How do people think that would actually weather up today? Do you think, Angus, what do you think? Do you think that would actually survive?
I think it probably would. It would have problems with political correctness with, I don't know, some other episodes probably. A couple of odds and ends would definitely be better off doing with some filtering.
You might remove Rolf Harris.
Yeah.
There were some parts of it that were kind of, you could see the parallel between something like Chase's War and Everything and things like that. But you think the amount of issues and grief that they had with some of their edgy stuff that wasn't even that edgy.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can understand why it wouldn't be.
It was certainly the same period as Chase's, wasn't it?
No, Chase's is more recent. This was 97. Chase was from...
Oh, I didn't see CNN.
Really bad segue, though. There was a really great, I don't know if you guys remember the old D-Generation Late Show from back in the early 90s.
And
they did a sketch on there like that popped up a few times called Wallaby Jack, and that's basically where Russell Coit comes from. I mean, I'm assuming Russell Coit's adventures kind of took it that next level because it was like a half hour series and this was like a 5 minute sketch. But
was that the same actor you recognised it early in the episode, Angus? You recognised some character?
Oh, I recognised the main guy, Chris Morris, who's in the IT Crowd.
Is he?
Yeah, he's in the first series, he's Mr.
Denham.
Denham?
Yeah, the guy who owns the company.
Yeah. He owns the company in the first series.
Oh, of course.
He's not in the second series because he jumps out the window.
He jumps out the window, right.
Steps.
Yeah. So that's the same actor.
That's the same actor. And I thought I recognised someone else in the beginning. A couple of them I recognised. There was one from the opening kind of like barrage of faces in the title sequence, basically. I thought I recognised one who was like a chief superintendent or something like that.
Yeah.
In The Bodyguard.
Cleaner from... Black Books was in there, I think.
Yes,
I saw his name in the cast, but I didn't recognise him in it.
Yeah, he was the father of the daughter who was told her parents were dead.
Yes.
And died of a crack overdose. He was the father.
Because they end up using quite a few of the same actors. Yeah. But in fact, he did a couple of other series and he worked with them as well.
I recognised him as well and I couldn't work out where he was from. I was actually, he's from Upstart Crow. That's probably where I recognised him from. Yeah.
What is he the... Is he the villain?
He's Robert Green.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Okay.
Robert Green, that's the villain.
And did that get your attention?
Yeah, I've just been watching Upstart Crow again. I love Upstart Crow.
It has a bit of the who's who of BBC faces.
Yeah.
In
it does, it does a bit,
Well, Claire Skinner, who was the mother of the girl, she was in Christmas special of Doctor Who, the mother in the wardrobe.
The wardrobe one.
Yes.
The doctor, the thing in the wardrobe.
I never would have noticed that.
Janet knows all the BBC.
Yeah.
Despite the fact this was actually on Channel 4. But
Channel 4.
British TV.
But there's small circles in some of those English comedy shows, aren't they?
Yeah. It's not just English comedy. It's the same that it works in Australian comedy as well. Basically, all of your hilarious content just comes from, like, maybe 40 people total.
And they turn around.
Because you can't actually find good comedians. You've only got the older ones that are actually seasoned well enough to do a good job.
Comedy is hard.
Mm. Well, comedy, it's a dying industry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why I pay money where you can get a funny tweet or a funny meme for nothing?
Exactly. Yeah. Mm. I mean, I remember seeing...
I guess like pokey machines versus people on stage and things like
that. Oh, yeah.
Well, no, it's more like I heard Barry from Four Doors Down make a funny joke. Why would I pay $40 to go see a stand-up comedian?
Mm. Or there's this content on YouTube which is far funnier than you can get with on stage.
Yeah.
Because controversy, I can get with a lot more controversy online than you ever could on TV.
Mock the week.
Don't just see comedians during the fringe, guys. Go all year round.
Yeah.
Well, we're right in the fringe right now, aren't we?
Yeah, yes. Right. Not ironically, too much that's this controversial, comedy. Though.
Yeah. No. I don't know. Trying to mate with someone on stage is pretty controversial. That's exhibitionism, and it's
What show did you guys see?
Shitface Shakespeare.
Hamlet.
Okay, so I guess people enjoyed that. What have we got coming up next?
Wait.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, how many stars?
How many stars?
I actually really
out of 10. Star system.
Out of 10, how many stars?
It's never been out of 10.
We tried to make it out of 10.
Bring it back down to 5 because it makes less sense. It's that or 7. There's no in between.
Ooh, 7.
7. Then. Out of 7.
Out of 7. I'd be willing to give this 6 stars. I actually thoroughly enjoyed this. I thought it was good fun. I almost want the rest of the series so I can just binge watch it. It was
didn't find it that funny. There was no Jimmy Carr laugh. He actually laughs exactly like Jimmy Carr when it's really funny. So
no, I was using my silent laughter so that I could hear what was being said. I wasn't close enough to the pause button for that laugh.
You know, it kind of sounds like a whale beaching up on shore calling for help.
I look forward to Angus's star rating just as much as he doesn't look forward to giving it. And I'm not sure why we ask him every month, because he always gives full marks.
No, I did thoroughly enjoy this one.
Or he has to pass for us to live.
Oh, I see. Right. That won't work well.
Okay, maybe I can give it out of like 317 stars and only give 316 and get away with it.
Okay, so that was a brass eye. We got 6 stars out of 7 from our resident critic. And so what have we got next?
Coming of Shadows.
So Babylon 5.
Babylon 5. I'm catching up on that again. Yeah.
You're finally going to get me on to Babylon 5. Yeah. You've been talking about it since we very first started, and now it's finally arrived.
Yeah.
Lisa, one of my favourites.
Gypsy's not a fan, so that's good. We've got a nice
out. It'll be interesting. Yeah, especially after we've just been doing the Star Trek Next Gen and Picard and stuff. Yeah.
And especially, I'm looking forward, not sure how much you can get from the series from just the one episode.
No, but Coming of Shadows is a good place to start.
Yeah. It's not that stopped us before.
No. Yeah. It's more like, I think, half the time...
It's the premise of this show.
Yeah, I'm worried that half the episode will be spent talking about other episodes in the series rather than the one we've
actually
watched.
I'll give you a quick background, but this was the first episode I watched, and also JMS himself recommended that it's a good starting point for people.
Sure.
JMS being the showrunner?
Yes.
He
said this was a good start episode for people.
It's the entry to a story.
Yeah, you get to skip the parts where they don't actually know how to count down to 5.
Yes.
How an actor thinks that saying that they're Russian makes them Russian.
And
a couple of other strifes that I have with it as well.
Okay, we've got...
It's good.
Yeah, join us next time for Jesus Criticisms of Babylon 5.
There will be controversies.
So many.
I think that
one of us is going to live out of all this, and I'm pretty sure it won't be me.
I think there may be regrets doing Babylon 5 so soon after Next Gen and Picard. It's going to struggle to hold up, I think.
Well, to me, it holds up. Yeah. I might have heard it too.
See, to me, those last 2 episodes were 317 out of 317. So, you know, I don't think we could beat that. So
that's the thing. We're watching Star Trek along with B5. And we ended up finishing the first season of Star Trek, and we're slowly making it through B5. We were trying to do one for one initially so that we didn't binge watch and get bored with it straight away. And...
But you're still watching first season of B5.
Jeanette, you have to watch an entire... Like, if you're going to watch a series, you watch the whole series to enjoy all of it. You don't just go, I'm going to watch this and only this. I do not agree with that at all.
This feels like Blake 7 again. This feels like Blake 7. It's like, oh, yeah, it's really good, but don't watch that episode and don't watch that series. Yeah. And just watch these couple of episodes that are completely out of...
Really irates me. Because it's like... Season 2 of Star Trek is pretty, like, horseshit in reality. But I'm not going to say, Angus, don't watch Season 2 because there's still stuff in it that's actually good.
You just don't start there.
You just start with Episode 1 and make your way through the 7 series like a normal
person. There are some good episodes in Season 1.
The trouble is
90% of them.
It starts with Q.
I've skipped the first 12.
I don't agree with.
And that was the classic cult TV club. Until next time when we show Babylon 5.
Yeah. And listen to more of this argument.
But yeah, I'm also quite glad that people didn't like pillory me for bringing this episode to their attention. So
it was brilliant. It was well done. Thank you for that.
Better than B5.
Oh.
More of this next time on cult TV.